If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's a creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome to What Does It Feel Like? I'm Alicia.
And this is Raphael.
And this is episode one, What Does It Feel Like to Grow Up in the 70s?
Ooh, two tops and wedgies.
Feeling groovy.
Break it down.
Break it down now.
Yeah, yeah. So my first kind of recollection of the 70s growing up was dirty. It just felt like a dirty time.
It was very dirty time. I think of like shag carpet and giant ashtrays full of cigarettes and ashes and pollution, dirty mufflers, large cars. Yes. Smog,
and how many cars, speaking of cars, I mean, I remember driving in a car not having air conditioning and, you know.
I remember not having a seatbelt.
Yeah, you didn't have seatbelts in your car.
We were like kids hopping around these bench seats, you know, like Jiffy Pop, speaking of 70s, Jiffy Pop. And we didn't have seatbelts. It wasn't a priority.
Or car locks on your door, because I remember my sister opening the car door. Swinging out of the car, and my mom's driving. I'm not lying. Mom, Jen's out of the car.
I can definitely say that safety was not a priority in the 1970s, especially for children.
And everything was a ride, by the way. We could make a ride out of everything. That's hence my sister opening the car door and flying out.
Oh my God, you're so right. I remember like having a hammock in my backyard and it was on this elm tree and it kind of just looped. And I would charge kids 25 cents for a ride in the hammock and push them. And the thrill was you might hit the tree trunk, you might not.
Oh my God, you just reminded me of something too. It's so funny. We were all about like escaping danger, like doing something super crazy. You know what? That's probably where Evel Knievel came in.
Yes. Like I can jump across all these cars in my motorcycle. So we would be like, let me take my bicycle with the banana seat and make a ramp and see how far I can jump and not hurt myself. You're right.
I mean, and then you would get up. Remember too, you would get up and you'd be like, I'm fine. I gotta go. And you'd run home.
Let me tell you something. We were conditioned.
Your eyes out in pain.
We were conditioned. I mean, I remember our playgrounds were asphalt and metal monkey bars, and that's it. And metal slides that were hot that you get burned on. So we were conditioned at an early age, to just suck it up and you skin to knee, whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's why we had games like dodgeball.
I was good at dodgeball. I remember those games a lot. Yes, but pollution was definitely a thing of the 70s for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And pollution in the sense of, you know, you'd walk into a restaurant because smoking was allowed then as well. You know, you'd go into an Italian restaurant, curtains, it's all dimmed out. You can't really even see your food because there's one little candle in the middle of the table.
I mean, Alicia, you think about it, smoking ban in restaurants happened right up into the 90s. So we were smoking in restaurants. There was always a smoking section in a restaurant up into the 90s. Smoking on planes, too, was a thing. So, yeah. I remember appliances being avocado and gold, Harvest Gold, and we would have the giant phone in the kitchen on the wall with like a 20-foot cord. Yeah. You would like go into the pantry or go into the closet to have a private conversation. Yeah. But growing up in a Latino home, you'd have that phone, you had the linoleum floors in the kitchen, but that phone became an instrument of discipline. You got whacked with it.
Because your mom was always on the phone with the cords far from the...
If you got on her nerves, she'd whack you.
That's so true. That's crazy. I know, that's where everybody sat by the kitchen and got on the phone with
the a step stool. Yeah, there was like a step stool. Usually there was like a little step stool, like a chair / step stool that was used for reaching in high places in the cabinet, but also give you a place to sit and chat on the phone. I remember that. It's cool.
Yeah. Good memories. So another initiative when we were kids to clean up the pollution that we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Woodsy the Owl.
Give a hoot. Don't pollute.
Yeah.
In the city or in the woods, please keep America looking good. Oh my God, I remembered it. Wow.
We heard that all the time.
Yeah. So people, cars, gas guzzling cars that, you know, had no
coming out of the muffler.
Yeah. And we would just eat a candy bar and just throw the wrapper out the window and no seatbelt on. That was just our behavior back then.
Yeah.
And that brought me up to the Native American campaign, right? The Indian that would always be crying because you see cars on the highway drive by and loads of trash and people just flinging their trash out the window. That was a very emotionally powerful campaign to bring people to light. Look at the result of your behavior, what you're doing to this beautiful country. Yeah.
And I think we did clean up our acts because we went to the 80s and I feel like things became much cleaner.
We did on a visual sense, but then, you know, with hairspray, we were damaging the environment with the ozone. So there was some ramifications there. Like we did good in one space, we did bad in another.
Yeah.
So, do you remember acid rain? That was a topic in the 70s, late 70s. Like, oh my God, acid. Remember a topic back then, because I was big into science, was Skylab. That Skylab was supposed to crash into the earth. That was another big thing.
What happened with Skylab?
It wind up, I think it crashed in the Indian desert, if I'm not mistaken. But it was just like a space station laboratory.
Is that the first thing?
Yeah, I think it was.
Satellite? Was it a satellite or a space station?
No, I think it was like an actual satellite, but they called it Skylab because it's supposed to have conduct all these experiments on it. And I remember that was a really fun thing that let's see, it was launched for 24 weeks on 1973 to 1974 and operated by three separate three-man crews. Yeah. Actually, you got board it. I remember that. So it had like a workshop, solar observatory, earth observations, and hundreds of experiments were conducted in that period of time. Yeah, it was launched by a Saturn V rocket, which is like the largest rocket ever to this date. I mean, it was huge. And I just remember that it just, I'm like, oh my God, Skylabs. You know, Skylabs.
I still have to watch that. I haven't seen that in a long time, but I know what you're talking about. So besides this being a dirty in the 70s, we only had three television stations, and it was ABC, NBC, CBS, and then we had PBS, which was so I guess we had four, but PBS wasn't on all day. And as a kid, we only had programming until noon.
I just remember we had 13 channels with the rabbit ear antennas, but by the mid 70s, you know, I grew up in the first half of the 70s, I grew up in the Bronx, New York, and we had an apartment with the rabbit ears and you had to adjust it, put aluminum foil on it. And when we moved to Connecticut, we transitioned. That's when I had the shag carpet. I remember we had cable TV and that was everything. But, you know, yeah, you're right. We had a turn knob that only got 13 channels. And that's when I learned about UHF and VHF frequency. That was a big deal. And to get cable, it was that was groundbreaking to get cable TV and lunchbox.
We're the channel changers of our home. The kids turn the channel for our parents.
So a lot of people don't realize growing up, we always had this big floor model, this big piece of furniture, wood box with a big tube TV that was a big part of your furniture. And you were a kid, you were on the carpet sitting either lotus style, you know, this far away from it, or on the floor looking up at the TV. That was how you spent your childhood until your mom kicked you out to go outside and play. You know, that was a thing, or do your homework. But yeah, that was part of our culture growing up in the 70s up into the 80s,
and
I think.
Speaking of that too, your parents would kick you out outside basically with unsupervised. You just would run the street.
But yeah, we would run the streets until, like, the rule was you can go outside and play until the street lights came on. Then when the street lights came on, you better be at your porch at your home. Yeah. And then I remember there would be an announcement on one of the public stations. It's 7 p.m. Do you know where your children are, or something like that?
Like,
to remind the parents that are smoking cigarettes, probably having the evening cocktail after work. After watching Archie Bunker and Barney Miller, you know, like all the family, like, where is my kid?
And then they would, or if your parents needed you to come home, they'd go to the front door and yell your name.
And your neighbors watched out for you too.
Yeah. Your neighbors did too. Your neighbors would be like, your mom's calling you, get home.
Yeah.
Different times.
It was, but we had a lot more freedom back then, I think.
I think too, a lot more creativity as well, in a different way. I think kids are creative in a different way today. I feel like we had to make our fun. So it was different. Fun wasn't provided to us. You know, stuff like that. Oh, we also did, I remember too, the older kids in the neighborhood would do like haunted houses for us.
Oh, I used to be so good at haunted houses.
See?
My house was very old, where a lot of houses were built. Like, the one I grew up in was in the 1890s. So people entertained because of prohibition, entertained in their basement. So usually like one part of your basement was like really finished, like a family room. And the other part was Freddy Krueger boiler room, and where the hot water heater and the bathroom was. So I used to get kids in there, would like blink the lights and make noise. And I had a Disneyland Haunted Mansion record with the sound effects. The big 12-inch, that was like my favorite thing ever. And it would have like the cats and the wind blowing and all of that. Yeah, one side was the whole journey of the Haunted Mansion. The other side was all sound effects. And that was like the coolest thing I've ever owned.
That is really cool.
And it made my haunted house like special effects. Like, I was like the bomb.
Everybody was like, Raphael's haunted houses are the best.
Between that and because my brother's bedroom was down there at one point, and I slept down there at one point, but my brother had like these black lights with these weird neon posters that pick up in black light. So literally, because he would have like Bruce Lee posters and like Jimi Hendrix and stuff. Yeah. So with the black light and these weird gold glowing things and my Haunted Mansion record, bed sheets, I had the imagination down.
To say, those posters always kind of freaked me out.
Bow wow.
Like, something's going on in that room.
Speaking of decor, can we talk about macrame? My mom was, so like on our TV, our big floor model TV, floor console TV, we always had like this weird porcelain cat on the top of the TV, this hideous porcelain cat. But my mom would have these macrame hanging plants. And it's so funny because they're back in style, but back then they were so gross and irritating because my mom was not the best plant keeper. She would just let the leaves dry up and shrivel on it. So you would get like this plant dandruff, like stuck in the macrame, like hair, like this chick from Woodstock that just showed up at your living room. I had like a messy plant person. She was just messy about it. She would like have one indoors. No, it was not. Yeah. I have bad memories.
Let's talk about, Saturday morning cartoons.
That shaped our childhood.
Yeah, that was it. That's what we got. That was your kid, you know, that and maybe a few things during the week. But Saturday morning, that was your time up until like 10 o'clock, I guess, 10 or 11.
We had we had Hanna-Barbera, which was huge. So you got like Yogi Bear. We had the Herculoids, Space Ghost. We would have the wacky races, and I've been accused of laughing like Muttley. I don't know if you remember Muttley, like the little dog that would like. So sometimes I wheeze when I laugh really hard. I wheeze like Muttley. So which is pretty. So the Stars too, 1977 as well. Oh, you're right. Okay. Yeah, that was also a thing. You're right. Yeah. I want to say in the late 80s into the early, the late 70s into the early 80s, Solid Gold was another one.
Yeah.
Like, I remember everyone watched it. They would watch the show Sha Na Na, and then they would watch Solid Gold. It was all Sha Na Na.
These big, like, Sears model floor console record player, and we would stack 45s of all these disco songs like Donna Summers and stuff, and then we would have all these little disco competitions in our living room.
Oh my gosh, us too. I would watch Solid Gold and then practice the dances after, or like pretend I was a Solid Gold dancer, like I'd be on my little block like doing my disco or something.
Did you ever break anything?
I probably knocked over a lamp or two. I got to bring up one thing. We did Gong Show. Do you remember the Gong Show?
I did. The Unknown Comic. That was amazing.
Yeah, we actually played the Gong Show in my neighborhood. All the kids come over and we do our little dances. And
What did you use for the gong?
What we did is I had this hanging lamp. So we'd have the lamp on you, shining on you. And if it stopped shining on you, get off the stage. So.
Oh, that's harsh. That is so harsh.
Oh, yeah. You know how kids were back then.
They're like, you suck, get out.
Yep, you're done.
You're not funny anymore. It was all about trying to make each other laugh or entertain each other.
So oh, yeah. Sure. I mean, that was our entertainment. We didn't really have television, and then playing outside basically was it.
Yes. And I wasn't, we didn't really have video games. Like, I think Atari was already kind of fizzled out by then. Yeah. It was not interesting until Nintendo came out in the 80s, later 80s. So,
I mean, Atari was ping pong.
Yes. And Pac-Man was kind of stale. Like, we were better off going to the arcade, I remember.
Yeah. And that was it. You didn't really play it that much. I mean, one kid in the neighborhood might have had an Atari, and then we're all at that kid's house, playing Atari or something like that. But
for sure.
The highlight.
It was always imagination. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It was all about the imagination.
It was imagination, which was awesome. So I definitely think the 70s was a transition period. There wasn't tons of restaurants to go to. Like, there just wasn't a lot of money or excess in the 70s. No. It was...
No. Yeah. We were at the gas oil crisis, right? People were lining up. I don't remember that much vividly, but I remember we didn't have to pump for our own gas. Parents would slide money out. And I remember me and my cousin would love to have the window cracked open because we liked the smell of gasoline back then. But you're right. We didn't go to restaurants. I remember we had like one Ponderosa. They had diners and fast food, but I remember we had like one Ponderosa in our neighborhood. And that was like a special treat. When my dad got paid, we would go there.
Yeah. It was like you got paid and, you'd wait for that day all week, or maybe your parents went to Burger King or McDonald's or something. And too, if your parents went to McDonald's, it wasn't like a supersized meal. It was a small, like, I remember getting like, I want a Coke. Can I get a Coke? And, you'd beg your parents for that. And it was a small cup, like probably this big, like a Dixie cup.
Yeah. Cause they didn't have free refills back then.
No, you just got this. I think I always got like orange drink, actually.
Speaking of orange drink, that was for me growing up in the 70s and going toward the 80s was the end of school year celebration for the summer. And it was always done at some local park, and they would have games for us to play. And that was when you had all the flavor sodas would show up. Like, you wouldn't see that all year round, but at the summertime you would see, I think it was called White Rock was the name of the brand. And we would get like orange soda, cream soda was my favorite. Grape. And those were like, and I think black cherry was another.
Yes.
But you only saw those in the summertime.
Well, and speaking of that too, that is a reflection on the 70s because it wasn't excessive. So when you got something like that, it was a treat. It wasn't year round. You couldn't just dial up anything. You had to wait. So we always were in anticipation of something, which was kind of a really good feeling. We don't have anticipation now.
No. It's like the ice cream truck coming around the corner. You're like, oh my God, hurry up. Give me the ice cream, and a little ringing.
That's so true. I mean, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, are you watching it tonight? I mean, that would be the entire day at school is getting to watch that show, or The Sound of Music, or The Wizard of Oz.
Or Peanuts, Charlie Brown. Yeah, The Great Pumpkin.
You didn't have access to it. So it was so exciting. You would just get so excited about anything. It wasn't
Things were very limited. Yes, we only had limited things. For sure. Now it seems like there's so much, it's hard to make a decision.
I mean, if you got anything, if your parents bought you anything, it was your birthday or Christmas.
Yes.
Or maybe the beginning of the school year.
That's so true.
One more thing real quick. I keep thinking about these fun 70 things. So I remember my parents like taking me to Sears to get a pair of jeans.
Yeah, that going to Sears was a big deal, because I love that in the Brady Bunch movie when they spoof on the Brady Bunch that they were like, let's go to Sears, and they're all dancing, you know. And it really was like that. Like, I remember going to Sears to get like shoes for school. That was like a big deal. Like, got my Buster Browns, you know. It's crazy. It was exciting to go to
Sears. Then the Sears wish book at Christmas time.
Oh, I wasn't that fancy. I don't remember a Sears.
They used to send out like a catalog of, you know, gifts that you could get.
Oh, and no, I didn't get access to that. I'm sure my parents did not want me to see that.
They were like, you're not looking at that.
No, I think my dad probably took it and hijacked it.
He's like, no way is my kid seeing this. I'll never hear the end. He would have been like, I want this, I want that. And that's basically what we did.
My parents were pretty good about getting me things that I liked for Christmas. But I remember when Radio Shack was a thing, and I got, my dad was on this Radio Shack kick, and I would get all kinds of Radio Shack toys. But going back to being not safe, where safety was an issue, I do sort of remember my dad buying me this weird helmet with the flashing light on the top so I could be like highly visible, like some kind of, it was the weird.
Were you accident?
I never wore it.
Oh, I'm like, were you an accident prone kid?
I think everybody was an accident prone kid, because I remember watching the Olympics and I thought I was a gymnast, and I did like a flip off my couch and I landed on the glass coffee table and broke it.
It is so true. We were so reckless. I mean, I know kids are crazy today, but it was like a different level of crazy.
We really pushed the boundaries. We thought gravity was impervious.
I think that's why I'm so like safety conscious with my kids. I'm like, don't do that. You can get hurt.
Oh God. But yeah, we threw caution to the wind. We were not safe. We didn't have seatbelts, no airbags, no rubber foam playgrounds. It was just, not safe.
Yeah.
Throwing caution to the wind.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely the 70s were just go get out there. You'll live. Adventure. Shake it off.
It's an adventure.
For sure. For sure. I mean, yeah, it was a good time. I honestly miss the 70s.
I do too. 8-tracks.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh. You know what my first 8-track was? Helen Reddy, no. I Am Woman.
Oh my God. It's kind of like a lesbian anthem.
That is kind of... I was like, I was riding my bike around and going to garage sales. I'm not sure, like, I love doing that.
Okay, mine was the Bee Gees, Saturday Night Fever.
Well, that's a good one. I mean, what
it was but doing? It drove my brother nuts. He confiscated it and hid it from me. Love the Gibbs. They just had this cool, you know.
They were cool. They were definitely, definitely cool. Like, I mean, I wish I got that 8-track compared to Helen Reddy. I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, just when, and I got Glenn Campbell.
Oh, Glenn Campbell's not so bad. Yeah, no. But yeah, I remember I had the Bee Gees. I remember having Donna Summers, her famous one, I Feel Love, on the 12-inch.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love Donna Summer.
Yeah, me too. Remember, I love her.
What was the movie? Friday. Thank God it's Friday.
I just saw that the other night. It's on, you can stream it, I think, on Amazon Prime or something. And yes, she had a small part where she was trying to get a break at this nightclub and a live radio show. It was cool. It's so funny you mentioned that.
I love that movie. And I love To Fame was another one. Late 70s. Those were late
70s. Oh, the TV show was amazing. It transitioned to a TV show. Yeah, that was like the bomb to watch.
Yeah, it was all about that. All about
so it. So the little Jewish girl on Fame TV show, Schwartz, she was in the movie you just mentioned, Thank God It's Friday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank God It's Friday.
Yeah, she was in there. She was kind of like a pessimist. Like her girlfriend was dragging her out to go out. And they wind up having a good time and winning a dance trophy.
I swear I'm watching that. I think I'm going to watch it tonight because we do like 70s, 80s on Friday nights. And I'm totally watching that because I remember.
I highly recommend it.
And that's the thing. I think growing up in the 70s and like early 80s, you would watch these movies or television. They would end up on HBO later on in the 70s. Late 70s, I think, is when I got HBO. And I would
We did too. We were fancy. That was a big deal to get HBO in the late 70s.
Yeah. And it's weird because I don't think the kids are necessarily like this today so much, but I just always remember like, I want to be 20. I want to go to the disco.
Yes.
I want to go to New York City.
Yes. I want to go to the strip club.
In New York City. What? I just think we wanted to grow up. Well, I mean, to the, the movies and stuff were, and that's another thing that we didn't talk about with the 70s is how sexual.
I remember we were forbidden to watch The Blue Lagoon in school when it came out on cable. Like, we couldn't watch anything with Brooke Shields in it. Was forbidden.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would stay up late. I would scour the HBO guide. You know, you would get it in the mail. And I'm like, oh, Blue Lagoon, I'm totally watching that. I would just like count, it's on tonight. I go, oh, you know, when are you going to bed?
Oh my God.
Because I was going to totally sneak out and watch that. And that's
we exactly did the same thing. We would look through the HBO guide. And I remember like, ooh, what is this at the Moulin Rouge? What's this burlesque? What's a burlesque? We got to see that. They're topless women. I find out it's burlesque, but I was saying burlesque. And there it was, boobs and rhinestones and others. That was like the thing. And me and my cousin were like, wow.
We just watched Carrie.
I got trauma from that movie. It was frightening. Because I saw it when I was like probably 7 years old, 6 or 7 years old. And they were so mean to her. That was
to her.
Even her mom was mean. And that was the ugliest Jesus Christ on a cross I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It was so frightening. That had these scary eyes. It was just nightmares forever. And then, being killed by your mom. All of that shit. All of that wrapped into one.
Well, and then too, you know, my son, just speaking of movies in the 70s, was Exorcist the 70s or 80s?
I think it was late 70s.
I mean, I have never watched that movie. I will never watch that movie. I can just tell you it would scare the crap out of me. So my son tried to put it on the other night. I'm like, I had to tell him to turn it off. I still don't think I can watch The Exorcist. Like, honestly, it looks so scary to me.
I might watch it because do you know that the actress Linda Blair that plays the girl?
Yeah.
Like gets possessed. You know, she dated Rick James, the singer.
No, I didn't know that.
And the song Super Freak is about her.
Ooh.
She's a very kinky girl.
The kind you don't bring home to mother.
That's it. That was all about her. They dated. They dated. So that song is about her. So you're right. It was probably late 70s, right? Early 80s, right at that turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, wild, wild times, 70s wild. But transitioning into the 80s, okay, so 70s wasn't really excessive. You know, you had to wait for things. And then the 80s comes along and you are slowly gaining. And then by the end of the 80s, it was excessive, I would say.
It was super excessive, you know, like lots of hairspray. People were more conscious about their, younger kids were more self-conscious about their appearance.
Yes.
You know, acid wash jeans, spiking up your hair, popping your collar.
Yeah.
Shopping malls really took off in the 80s. So 80s became a decade of excess with the Ronald Reagan years. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I think we should do an episode on what does it feel like to grow up in the 80s? What do you think?
I think we should. And then maybe sometime we can talk about the bad decisions we made in the 90s.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode.
Here's our recap. Pollution.
Ashtrays.
Cork wedgies and tube top.
Finding a ride made out of anything in the 70s.
Latchkey kids.
Home and back pockets.
Skylab crashing.
The crying Indian.
Give a hoot, don't pollute.
See ya.
Bye.